If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Listening to Newmaster Sounds and the title track from their latest release, Shake It. The Newmaster Sounds are a funk, soul, blues rock outfit that blend all of those sounds and more into a really brilliant mix that you have to hear. The band has always added extra pieces here and there, from horns to extra percussion, and this album sees them add vocalist Lamar Williams Jr. 20 years in, this four-piece continues to evolve, and led by Eddie Roberts, there is seriously no end in sight. We caught up with Eddie to talk about the Newmaster Sounds, Shake It, and his label Color Red, based in Denver, Colorado. Our conversation started when I asked what inspired Eddie and his mates to keep going.
I can't do anything else.
Well, that's not true.
No. I mean, you know, especially with this album, and, you know, obviously with the launch of the label Color Red and building the studio and everything, it's kind of like thrust me more and more into the production side of things. And I feel like I've, you know, been able to really kind of hone down this record. It's the first time I've kind of done everything from the ground up, engineered it, you know, well, built the studio to start with. And then, you know, so that was kind of, has been an inspiring process for me. And kind of working with so many different people, with, you know, the nature of Color Red, of the label, just doing all these, bringing all these different musicians in constantly every week, and right. It's just kind of expanding my ears and ideas about things and about music. So
I do want to get to Color Red later on in the discussion, because I think it is the expansion of what you've been doing with the Newmaster Sounds in many ways, because the New Master Sounds has always been sort of a collective. I mean, it is, you know, you and the rest of the gang, but you're always adding pieces to the sound and taking away pieces from the sound. And on Shake It, Lamar Williams Jr. joins you. And it just seems like he's the perfect foil in terms of a vocalist for you guys.
Yeah, I think it really, it's really sitting better than it ever has before, really. Just the energy, the personalities of the band with Lamar, just right from the start, it just really worked. And you know, we've rarely taken vocalists on the road with us, but you know, he just really fits in. You know, even when he's not singing, he plays tambourine, he hangs out with us, he gets down with us. You know, it's like, so this, it kind of feels more like he's part of the band than having a guest vocalist and us being a backing band. It's kind of just seems you know, just more together, really. So you know, he's been on the road with us for all the shows this year, and for all the shows in the foreseeable future. So you know, it's just growing, really, and the sound with him is just growing, and you know, we're really enjoying the songs that we've written, and it feels good.
You know, it's a bit of a departure from the jazz funk fusion thing, and there's a lot more soul, and I would imagine that Lamar's vocal brings that, but I think there's a different kind of groove to this record than in records past. Are you conscious of that, or were you planning to do that? How did that come to be?
I mean, we've never really planned anything. You know, we just make the music that comes out, and you know, and really, I know you say that, but really the backing is pretty much what we've always done. I mean, I guess we've had to make room for the vocals, so I guess there's a few less notes sometimes. Mm-hmm. But groove-wise, it's pretty, you know, I feel like it's pretty, you know, standard New Master Sounds. And I think, yeah, bringing this vocal in, I guess just us fitting around the vocal is just what makes it different, making a bit more space. But yeah, in terms of, I mean, obviously we set out to make an album with Lamar, but we didn't really decide on a direction or, you know, it was just, you know, it's just a very organic thing. And that happens because we always do it so quick. I mean, we did have one couple of day writing session to get some grooves together and get some, you know, melodic ideas. And then Lamar and Joe pretty much did all the lyric writing. Joe, the keyboard player.
Yep.
And then we came in and we recorded the thing in 4 days, I guess.
Well, yes, the bills are piling up at the studio that you own. You don't want to waste studio time, right?
Well, it's like, yeah, getting everyone in, but you know, we had a show on the Friday, so we basically wrote the album, recorded the album. We did a live stream each night, mm-hmm, from the studio with the tunes that we'd written and finished writing and recording that day, and then culminated in a show at the Ogden in Denver on the Friday. So we definitely put ourselves under some pressure to get it done. You know?
It's weird to me that bands like yourself and Motet and Lettuce Now, and there are a few bands of the wider jazz funk soul family, are in Denver of all places. It doesn't seem from an outsider's perspective to be a hotbed for this kind of music. What is it about Denver that has this happening now?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an incredible music scene here right now. Mm-hmm. And it's been growing, you know, for the good 10 years, but I've noticed it, you know, really. I mean, I've been here 5 years now, and since I've moved here, it's, you know, it's blown up, really. You know, a big part of it was, you know, that this venue, Cervantes, which has been, you know, they've been championing this music for a long time, for, you know, a good 10, 15 years. And, you know, they've built the scene, really. And then you've got all these people who've moved to Denver because, you know, lower cost of living. You know, it was the first place to do recreational weed in 2012.
Right. Yes.
And just a more easygoing mindset, less dog eat dog than some of the bigger cities. It's a very supportive place, so you don't feel like you're competing with people. You just feel like everyone's supported by each other, and it's just created this great scene, and that's why people are just moving in their droves. You know, like you said, like, you know, I think half of lettuce live here now. You know, over the last 2 years, you know, Motet were always from here. Mm-hmm. They were the first people here, but yeah, there's so many musicians have moved here in the last kind of two to 5 years. It's pretty insane.
It seems like Reed Mathis might be moving next, because he's always back and forth from, the Bay Area to Denver recording.
Yeah, he spends a lot of time here, and obviously we've been doing his electric Beethoven stuff on Color Red. So yeah. I know, because Benny Bloom was the most recently, the trumpet player of Lettuce. He was the most recent addition. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Let's go back to the reason why we're chatting and Shake It. And it's funny that I say let's go back, because that's a perfect segue to that track. It is this mid-tempo swamp funk thing with, you know, some blues. You're paying homage to New Orleans, right? And that whole scene in that too.
Yeah, Lee Dorsey really was the starting point for that. And that's because when Lamar came and sang with us when we came through Atlanta, the first time that the rest of the guys got to meet him, we played a Lee Dorsey tune. I keep forgetting the name of it, but and I probably shouldn't say it anyway, because then I'll be called out for plagiarism. But let's say we were heavily influenced by a Lee Dorsey song on that one.
Right. And you don't stop there. I mean, there's things like Taking Me Down. It has this Latin funk thing. I mean, it really is, when you are the master sounds, you do kind of have to bring in all kinds of different beats and inflection and instrumentation into what you're doing. I would imagine that your record collection and those of the rest of the band is quite diverse for you to be able to write music and play it, right?
Yeah, everybody comes with their own kind of loves and perspectives, and you know, and we did originate from this kind of scene where it was more DJ led, and they were making mixtapes for us and things like that. So it's kind of, we weren't necessarily influenced by one artist. It was more just music in general, or music of a specific musical genre, but in a general way.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah. And all of those kind of grooves are things that we're influenced by. Yeah. I mean, I was definitely kind of thinking of kind of like an Ethiopian funk kind of thing when I was doing Taking Me Down. And I was actually kind of goofing around when I was doing that kind of fast guitar stuff, but then we were like, oh, it actually kind of works, you know. So that became that, and we were just exploring things, and all those musical influences that you have, all the music you've ever listened to, just kind of comes out, you know. It just organically comes out.
So let's talk about the organic process, because even though it is organic, and I appreciate, you know, obviously our show talks to organic and musicians and improv musicians, I'm curious about writing in that kind of vein, because you don't want to homogenize what you're doing or make it sound like anything else. You want it to be organic, but at the same time, people need to know, at least the other musicians in the band, where you're going. Is it just jams that you guys put together, or do you go into the studio with a sort of idea of where you're going, or how does that all come together?
Well, we did, and it's actually the first time we've done this, we actually did a writing session. And we had to do it a bit more because we needed to come up with the grooves and the melodies and then have some time for lyrics to be written, because that kind of takes a bit more time. And it's everyone kind of comes with a little groove idea, or some of them just come out from just like just jamming for an hour in the studio, and then as the producer, I get to say yes to this, no to that, like let's do this a bit faster, let's like take this in a little more of that direction, and so I'm kind of like thinking of the album as a whole when we're writing different grooves and trying to balance an album out with, you know, slow tunes, fast tunes, you know, Afrofunk tunes and, you know, soulful tunes. You know, I'm trying to, you know, sometimes I'll get maybe like, you know, we've got like six or seven grooves down, and then I'll listen to the roughs and kind of go, okay, we're kind of missing something in this territory or missing something in this tempo or this instrumentation. So, it's that kind of production role that sometimes distinguishes that and gets the direction.
Is that where you also decide that you want to add, you know, Mike on trumpet or Jason on sax and flute? I mean, where does your producer roles / being in the band / wanting to make a good record, where do those guys fit into the process of adding, you know, other layers and other people? I know that Mike's been on obviously other records with you, but you must be thinking about horns when you're writing this stuff or thinking about
it. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you get kind of little rough ideas or just you leaving space for it and on certain tunes. And then, you know, because we always record the four piece rhythm section in one go. So the drums, bass, keys and guitar are always recorded together. Mm-hmm. And then, then obviously we overdub the vocals and then we leave space for the horns and then see what fits where. And we kind of like write it, you know, at that point, that's when the horn lines get written. I think on a few of these tunes, when we were putting them down, we had the horns kind of right before we put the tunes down. And so we knew exactly where they were going. But, you know, there's no rules to it, really. It's just kind of, you know, there was, you know, the guys could have, the Mike and Jason could only be there for like the last 2 days. So we did all the horns on the last 2 days. You know?
Right, right.
And obviously you have to wait till the rhythm section's down first. But, you know, I mean, you know, we recorded the album in 5 days maybe slightly less. And it's kind of how we've always done it. It's very, you get a good energy from it then. It's a bit seat of the pants and, you know, it just captures energy that way. And we're using tape. So, we record onto tape and then we bounce from the tape onto computer and then for overdubs and things. But it's really important to get the drums ready. And in fact, the organ sounds amazing. This particular B3 that we have in the studio just sounds so great on tape. It's got its own built-in reverb, and it just the way that reacts with the tape's great. So, you know, as long as you get the rhythm section down, and then the rest of it isn't so important.
Because you own your own studio, is there going to, you know, have you given thought to just doing something live off the floor, something, you know, that doesn't go into a computer for processing that you can maybe make a whole album without overdubs and stuff? Have you considered that recently?
Well, we're using an 8-track.
Right, so you're limited.
We're pretty limited. And, you know, most of the stuff we do in Colorado is done in one take onto tape.
Right.
You know, so that is pretty much what we are doing. With this, it was just, you know, there was more instrumentation that we wanted on it. And, you know, it's, you know, a bit of a bigger process, really. But yeah, I would like to get a 16 track, actually. You know, that's probably going to be my next move for the studio. It's going to be a 16 tape machine. And then, you know, it does open it up a bit more.
I've been told tape isn't cheap and it's hard to find these days. It's not like you can travel down to Walmart and Target and pick up tape, right?
Sure. There are people still making it that sometimes there's a backlog and you can't get hold of it. But we've managed to kind of pick enough up, especially the tape we're using, the quarter inch tape. It actually isn't that expensive and we can still get hold of it. So it's pretty useful and pretty easy.
So you mentioned that you laid down, you know, guitar, drums, bass, and keys. But then Jeff Franca joins you for Permission to Land. Is that something that you intended? Is that something that's overdubbed on that track? How does Jeff come to be with you from Thievery Corporation? And how does he get into the mix as well?
Well, that was an overdub for sure, yeah. But it was it was definitely in mind as we were recording it. So I was leaving space for him, And Jeff, so he moved to Denver probably 3 years ago.
Of course he did.
And and he's been really quite an integral part of the music we've been doing at Colorado. He was just very hands on in the early days, especially making music there. So he's been a little busy recently, but you know, I've done a lot of projects with him. He's just a great, he has just a great work ethic and attitude. And I love making music with him. So yeah, it just made sense to get him on a couple of tracks. Obviously the kind of Afro funky tune, I definitely had it in mind to have him bring percussion in on that. And then kind of feature him a bit more on Permission to Land with the kind of timbale solos and things like that. So, yeah.
Atmospheric slow burner, it says here, too late to worry. I mean, it just sort of sets this, it's sort of the spacer. It sets a whole different mood to what's going on, right? I mean,
it's one of my favorites, if not my favorite. Yeah. It's, I just love it. I don't even remember really the writing process or where it kind of really came from, but as we were making it, recording it, putting it down, I was like, "Ooh, okay, this is pretty special."
yeah.
And so I loved mixing that. I was like, "Yeah, I had so much fun mixing that tune."
So let's talk about Color Red for just a second, because I don't want to leave it out, and the impact that you've had on we mentioned Reed, but there are several other musicians in the jam community, but in the larger musical community now that are coming to your studio, recording with you. It sort of, I would assume, stretches the boundaries of what you consider your own musicianship now that you're able to produce these records or participate in these records and all of those sorts of things. What made you decide to start Color Red?
Several things. One of the things was, you know, like I said, I was in Denver. I saw this very rich music scene going on, and I realized that nobody was capturing it. There's also a little bit of a kickback against the super jam thing where everyone's playing the same tunes. So, well, why don't we get the same people together, get them in the studio, write original music, and then when you're getting together to do these, you know, these gigs, then we've got original music to play. You know, that was kind of one part of it as well. Then also kind of, I just, you know, I was involved in a label years ago in the UK. We set our own label up for Master Sounds, you know, right at the beginning, mm-hmm. after getting our fingers burnt on the first album. So I've always kind of been, you know, in that side of things. And, you know, I signed a publishing deal nearly 20 years ago. So I kind of like know about the publishing side of things. I also realized that most musicians on this scene, you know, A, didn't have any publishing or didn't even really understand it. And so there's, you know, I wanted to help people kind of get their publishing sorted out and just be very upfront with the business of what we're doing and make it very artist forward. So that, you know, people felt that they could come in and be creative and that they would get paid for it on the royalty side of things and have their rights secured and you know, just kind of just create a healthy a business model for musicians and you know, which then creates a safe space to come and be creative.
It's such an eclectic mix of artists that come to play at your studio and obviously release records with you. Freak Bass, Reed Mathis, the New Master Sounds. I mean, the musical kind of tapestry that must go on there is incredible, right? And the musicianship. I mean, you know, I know that our pal Marcus just recorded there as well, Marcus Rizak. So,
yep,
I mean,
yep.
Just the people that must come through the studio with all their different talent is so exciting, probably.
Yeah. And I've been finding that really exciting because, you know, obviously 20 years making pretty much making the same music, you know,
right.
Funk and soul. And I mean, there's a track that actually comes out today because, you know, we release a track every week. So mm-hmm. today's track actually features Vince Herman from Leftover Salmon,
right.
and Johnny Sansom from, what's the name of the Anders Osborne band, the Wetlands.
Rack. No, that's Todd Stoops.
Voice of the Wetlands. Oh, in fact, Todd Stoops is on this recording as well. So, you know, and it's kind of, it's about as far towards the kind of bluegrassy country scene that I've ever gone before. But it was such a pleasure to make this music with these great musicians, and you know, it sounds a bit like Bob Dylan meets the Band, you know, something like that. You know, it's you know, very different from me, but at the same time, I'm kind of like getting the same kind of drum sounds, and it sounds a bit more classic. It doesn't sound so, you know, digital and polished, and it's got a more earthy feel to it. And I'm just having so much fun making other people's music and kind of steering things in a producer chair. And then, you know, and it's not just me, there's two other producers that are in the studio as well. Right. It's Josh Fairman and Mike Tolman. So, you know, between the three of us and all our contacts, and, you know, there's so much stuff going on now that I can't even keep up with all the stuff. It was something that happened a couple of days ago. I didn't even recognize the names or anything. I was like, I don't know what this is, you know? So, it's been really exciting, and it's growing and growing, and you know, kind of building this catalog, and you know, it was very important also to get the visual side of things, which is why Mike Tolman, who is one of the producers, he's been doing our design work for Master Sounds for, you know, lots of our albums and our tour posters and things like that, and he's he's the art director of the label as well. So there's a cohesiveness to everything that we put out and the design side of things, and just try, you know, just make something happen. It's exciting. And it's exciting to see the response of the artists, and then in turn see the response of the audience.
So when you have somebody like Vince Herman, who comes to the table with so much experience in a genre that, well, let's face it, it's not your, you said it yourself, it's not your bailiwick necessarily. It's just music, right? And you're trying to get the best sound and the best performance out of him as an engineer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've hung out with Vince, you know, we know each other. And he was like, oh, I really want to come in and do something. And then, you know, that's, you know, a big part of this is the collaborations. It's like putting people together that haven't necessarily play together or aren't even in the same genre. I know Todd came down to that session. He didn't know anyone in the room, and he was like, "Oh, okay, what's going on?" You know. Mm-hmm. But it's like everyone's of a such a pedigree, such a great level of musicianship. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're focusing on original music. We're not doing any covers.
Right.
I mean, and big part of that is for publishing. This, you know, if you're going to take the time to record something, you might as well record something that you own, and then have that, you know, registered properly for you, and that can be making you money, you know. So that's what we're focusing on, that really. So we get people in, they write there and then, record it, and sometimes we can get, like, you know, it's like we aim for like 2 to 4 tracks in an afternoon, and it pretty much, we hit that all the time.
Is it something that you see will take over your life specifically, in that you won't have time to put out new Master Sounds records? Or is that always the, you know, the focus, really? Is that you really, how does that work? What's the give and take?
Yeah, there? I mean, you know, Master Sounds, we've always put out an album every 18 months. And it's hard with one artist to do more than that, you know, because, you know, it's just, you know, it takes a lot of creativity to make an album. And, you know, so it's like I couldn't make an album of Master Sounds every week, mm-hmm. but I can make tracks with other people every week. And and so that's what's happening, really. So, you know, making, whether it be just one day sessions where we knock out, you know, two or four tracks, or whether it's actual albums that we go down and kind of spend a week doing. So it's a bit of both that we're doing. I'll definitely be doing another Master Sounds album, and probably starting in less than a year, because, you know, it takes a good, you know, I mean, we recorded that in December. Mm-hmm. It takes, and you know, and it came out in September, and that's a good amount of lead up time for me to mix it, master it, and then promote it properly. So, you know, I suspect we'll be making another album in, you know, kind of late spring or summer next year.
In time for a tour, probably, right? In time for yet another tour.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the music industry isn't dead. Just the way in which we probably consume music is so different than it was probably 20 years ago when you first started making records, right?
Yeah, but it was, you know, because it was so, especially in the UK, it was so sewn up by the majors. Mm-hmm. It was pretty impossible back then. I feel, you know, maybe, you know, it was the best period we've had is when it was more download heavy, and now it's gone so streaming heavy, then that makes it difficult. Mm-hmm. But this is why it's important to kind of have your publishing dialed in as well, because you know that's a big source of income right there, so that the people neglect and aren't collecting on. So you've just got to have your fingers in lots of pies, pretty much. But that's always been the case, you know.
Yeah.
It's hustle.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time. I love Shake It. I think it's a great record. And, you know, kudos to you for bringing in. I mean, I Reed Mathis is one of our favorites, and we love the Beethoven reworking. And I know that you had a lot to do with that. And, you know, Marcus is a friend of the show, and even Vince is too. So thank you for creating an environment, not just for your band, but for other bands to flex their creativity and create new music, and thank you for putting out new music as often as you do, because I think for people who are starved for quality music, no matter the genre, I think you guys are doing a great job at Color Red. So kudos to you on both the new Master Sounds and Color Red, and for taking the time today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Aside from Eddie's obvious talents as a musician making music in New Master Sounds, Color Red has got to be the envy of other record label publisher and management companies. I dig the music, but the story is one of great inspiration, too. To learn more about the New Master Sounds, visit newmastersounds.com. And do yourself a favor, check out Color Red Records at color-red.co. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of Shake It. Here is Kings and Queens.
First time I caught that look, didn't want to let you down. Slipping away, you had your mama on the phone, and you wanna be alone. We gotta figure this out, baby. I got you, we make a hell of a team. When you get me, it's such a beautiful thing. No aphrodisiac. Let's talk about it, baby. I need you. We could be living a dream. I'll feed you. We're like cookies and cream.
best I ever been.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.